Hogstein.
Hey everybody, welcome to Draft Day Eve. It is a holiday of sorts for many of us, right? Especially those of us who for so long the only hope we had was to win the offseason, which was Washington's specialty for about two and a half decades.
I like to point out that it's never been a holiday for me, and as long as I've been watching, as long as it's not been on the weekend, I've never had draft day off, just for the record.
No, that's true. It's not like, I'm not saying people take the, does anyone take the day off to go the, or other
some
than
people
go to
do
the draft?
Some people do.
Well, there's it no starts, need to.
Yeah, it starts at like 8 o'clock.
You just said it's a holiday, so I mean, I just point out that it's not a holiday for me. It's not a holiday.
It's a holiday without the actual time away from work.
Right.
This is kind of, you know, brought to you by the same people that think the Monday after the Super Bowl needs to be a holiday, which is stupid beyond all comprehension.
No. Now, I've long said they should just adjust the schedule to fall on one of the many 3-day weekends around like the time.
Do you care to know why they don't?
I know why they don't, because they don't want people. Well, part of it, they don't want people going out of town and losing ratings that way. That's a big part of it.
There's always the Sunday of a 3-day weekend is never a good time to broadcast something.
Right, I totally get that, but I mean, I still kind of want them to do it.
I just think people need to be responsible and understand that they have to, you know, things to do in the morning and watch the Super Bowl and go to bed.
They could also make the Super Bowl start at like 4 o'clock instead of 6 o'clock.
Or just
you
save
care to
your
know why they don't
time.
Want to do that?
I know it's all about money, Steve. I do know this.
Well, because for you, starting at 4 o'clock is noon on the West Coast. That's why.
All Californians do is get drunk anyway. What do they care?
And I would absolutely love watching the Super Bowl at 12 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
But they don't want you to, because they, you know, the prime time is the best for ratings.
Yeah, I know. We all know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, they're going to put the Super Bowl on Amazon Prime at some point. So I don't know if they really know what ratings are.
I don't think they're ever going to do that.
Have it in London at least once.
Yeah.
They're never going to do that either.
That's going to be the thing Roger Goodell gets like the day before he quits, you know, or whatever. Like,
no, because there's too much money for the city.
I know.
You know, they're never going to move it like that. And it's too valuable a property to the network, too.
Talk about the time zone issue. Like, you know, putting it in London where I think the game.
Well, it'd have to be at, you know, 3 in the morning.
11 o'clock or something over there.
Well, I mean, they're 5 hours ahead, you know, of the East Coast. And so you'd have to, you know, start it at, you know, midnight, probably,
right?
Realistically.
Something ridiculous.
Yeah, I had a debate with somebody thinking they were going to have one there by 2026. Well, obviously, that's not happening. I said, you know, first of all, if they're going to do it, I think they're going to ultimately try at one point.
They will
but
not.
But if they do it, they're going to at least try to get a team to be there first before they would even ever think about moving a Super Bowl there.
Well, yeah, if they move a team there, then yeah, it would be on the table, but they're never going to move it overseas without
just
a team
that,
there. No,
yeah,
right.
I think
too valuable.
Too much backlash if they do it.
Yeah, it's too much money involved for the cities that host them. It's a ton of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay, so let's focus back in here on the draft, which is, you know, what everyone really cares about, what's coming.
Oh,
right,
yeah,
now.
The draft.
Yeah.
Is it just me, or this draft season has been just like interminable?
There's been something about it where this stupid, and I love it, but it's a stupid debate between two, maybe three quarterbacks that we've literally been having nonstop as fans on social media. If you listen to sports talk radio, it's just been May Daniels, May Daniels, May Daniels. McCarthy, May Daniels, May Daniels, May
McCarthy,
Daniels.
Realistically, like maybe 5% of what you guys do.
Yeah.
And I'm sick of it. And so both of you, everybody else must be totally sick of it.
I think what really compounds it the most, and which actually has made it enjoyable for me, because I've enjoyed watching people really go nuts with it, especially with the local media, is how tight-lipped the actual organization is. Nobody has any clue what Peters is going to do, and I absolutely love it. It's like Christmas morning, like a kid going, you know, for draft day. I have no—I mean, I think they're going to make pick on Daniel, sure, but there's that but. We just don't know for sure.
The only thing that hasn't been tight-lipped, and we talked about it briefly, is this fallout from the whole Topgolf thing. And that's not so much been on the team. This has been, you know, the agent for Jaden Daniels putting his foot in his mouth on Twitter, so to speak.
Would somebody like to explain to me why this is such a terrible thing? I don't get it. Yeah. Why is it so awful?
The gist of what happened is he retweeted Mike Florio criticizing the whole Topgolf process of the team visit. With the thinking emoji, which is the most vague of tweets that you could do. And everyone read way too much into it way too quickly. Because he could be thinking, oh, Mike Florio has a good point. He could be thinking, oh, Mike Florio is an idiot. You know, who knows what the thinking emoji means?
Well, the latter, I would agree.
Yes, I would too. I think, Steve, I don't want to put words in your mouth. You would probably agree too.
I sign on to Mike Florio is an idiot, yes.
We're all unanimous here. Mike Florio is kind of dumb.
I think the worst part of the whole thing with Florio was 49ers have done it for quite a few years with John Lynch and company out there because Peters even spoke to that, and he brought that here. Never heard any qualms about it, no issues, no nothing. Right. And I think, you can correct me if I'm wrong, San Francisco has a pretty decent roster out there.
And they found a pretty decent quarterback, too. But even if it was brand new, is it the worst thing in the world?
No, absolutely. I don't get it.
No.
Because, I mean, you see him at the combine. You see him on Zoom meetings. You know, they still had their one-on-one meeting the day before Topgolf. You still have all of that. Now it's like, well, let's get them out of their element, away from their script, because, you know, the interviews are scripted on what they say. Now you just let them kind of let loose ball, and just be themselves. And that's it. Free ball. Yes, I like that.
Well, I mean, and I think it's a decent way to see if people can handle themselves.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is somebody going to act like a moron because they're at Topgolf? Mm-hmm. You know, are they going to, is somebody going to be confrontational? Can they not just, do they have the ability to just go out there and swing some golf clubs and be friendly and be reasonable? I mean, there's something you could learn from seeing people in a setting like that. And you're right, Dave. Obviously, they had one-on-one time with them, clearly.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, what a ridiculous argument.
And of course, there's someone out there that says, well, some of these guys have never played golf in their life. That's adding stress onto them. And their name may not be very good. Dude, I'm horrible at golf. I played golf like 8 years ago. I went to Topgolf last year. I had a blast. It was a great time. I mean, I was slicing it, everything. But it was a great time, you know? Hey, come on, stop it. They're being petty now.
Yeah, I've literally hit a golf club when I was 12. I don't care. Like, I don't see it being a stressful situation. You know what you do if you don't play golf and you go to Topgolf? You eat a bunch of buffalo wings and you hang out with people.
But I'm not a good golfer at all. Yeah. And so, you know, I'd probably be better than you guys maybe, but I'm not a good golfer, but I love going to Topgolf.
Sure. I mean, it seems like it's just you're just sitting there driving balls.
Well, that is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. And you hit the targets and everything, you get points
for
it. You
can pick the targets, pick what you want to hit at. Right. It's fun.
And they had various games involved with it and everything. It's almost like
I guess my point is that Florio is presenting it as if they flew these people in, they drove them to Topgolf, they sent them back to the airport.
Right. They dumped them there.
That's not what happened.
No, it's not what happened at all, of course. This was after a bunch of interviews and a whole day of the routine. It was, instead of just going out for the steak dinner, we're doing this.
Right.
Which, perfectly acceptable.
Also, just Florio, he can't get past his bias against Washington.
Yeah.
It's like, newsflash, Florio. Tiny Tyrant's gone. Yeah. Move on and just shut up already, please. That's true, too, yes.
There's three or four guys who haven't been able to move on from Dan Snyder. Lavero's one, Florio's one. I'll give Mike Wise some credit. He's, like, moved on with his life, I think, pretty well. Like, I haven't seen him say anything stupid.
He's a pretty grouchy dude, too.
Well, ever since
he's
name
the king of curmudgeon-y. Yeah. But
yeah.
I think he's mellowed out on everything. But yeah, there's a couple of guys, they just can't move on. They don't know how to be, you know, they've been so poisoned by it, they can't just become balanced.
Well, you know, it's funny is that the Hogs die has been in arguments with all three of those guys.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, at some level, I find it amusing, their curmudgeoniness.
I think I even dared Mike Weiss to come on and talk to us on the air, and he ignored me.
Yeah, I think you did.
Well, both him and Lavera have me blocked, so.
Oh, really?
I'm not surprised by that.
Yes.
Tom Lavera blocks a lot of people, I imagine. I imagine his block list is, you know, a couple thousand lines long at this point.
When I was in charge of our Twitter, I've blocked very few people. I don't know if Alex, you've blocked some or not, but I
mostly just block spam bots, like, yeah, and telemarketing nonsense. If people are just posting political, like, I want money things, I block that.
I muted a lot of people, but
yeah.
See, I'm different. Those who disagree with me or really hate the stance I have, I usually follow them.
Sure.
So, because, I mean, I don't want everyone to agree with me, for crying out loud. Make fun of me. I don't care. Whatever.
That's a different story. I try and keep our Twitter focused on football.
Well, yeah, yours. I get that. Yeah, right.
I personally got blocked from posting comments at Pro Football Talk years ago.
I remember that.
The Hogs Die, from the, you know, my name, under my real name.
Right. I got blocked from the Redskins' own comment section, like, when they first started. I guess they bought Extreme Skins is what happened.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, I got blocked, like, the third time I posted.
Do they know that was before you were Alex East from the Hogs?
Oh, yeah.
Long time.
And I remember it was me criticizing Larry Michael, because, you know, I was like, this guy's a weirdo, and,
I got blocked by Florio because I said something like, Florio's, this is stupid, something along those lines, and that was it, you know.
Yeah, little point of pride, getting blocked.
Oh, absolutely. I was proud of that. I'm proud that we got banned from training camp because of, you know, I still say it's because we mouth off about Dan Snyder to me.
Probably is. It probably is.
That's a source of pride.
Yep. So, you know, it is interesting, Dave, you kind of mentioned earlier how tight-lipped they've been. It's amazing how not having a GM who wakes up in the morning with a Coors Light in hand, you know, kind of quiets down those rumor mills.
So true.
Yeah. But, you know, to wrap up the whole fallout, it sounds like Jaden Daniels and his team have smoothed things over, like, with the Washington football team. Like, there's no ill will or malice or whatever you want to say at this point. They're all good. But his agent really stepped in it big time. And that's pretty crazy. The only other news that came out today, though, was basically the Raiders called the Commanders about moving up to the number two spot, and they were firmly told Washington's not trading out at this point. So all those out there who think, you know, there's a chance they'll trade to Minnesota or whoever, that's gone, it sounds like. So I guess we got to move on from that idea.
I don't think it was ever a serious idea. I mean, look, Washington traded away their last year's starting quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
They got rid of him. Right. They signed a guy who's a journeyman to be a backup, and then they've got a practice squad, you know, guy behind him. I mean, that is not a recipe for starter, okay? They have to find a starting quarterback. There was never any doubt in my mind, and they got Jeff Driscoll, too. He's definitely a practice squatter. Yeah. But there was never a doubt in my mind they were going to make this pick. I'd be stunned if they didn't make this pick.
I would, too. In reality, I would absolutely be stunned. But we're going to do mock drafts in a bit, and, you know, we'll kind of go through that just for the fun of it, because, you know, we used to do that, and we would do all seven rounds, and we would do it live on the air. That was a mistake the first year or two.
It became a bit too much. Yeah.
Yeah. So instead, we're going to just – we all already did a mock draft, and we're going to kind of go through them and make fun of our terrible decisions.
I don't know. I think I'm locked in. I think I already know who we're going to get. I think we're good.
You know the answer.
I know the answer.
We all have our feeling who the answer is with that number one.
I think Dave is saying he knows all three of them is what I think I'm hearing him say.
Oh, all three rounds?
I know all seven rounds.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah. Okay.
Well, right. I mean, Steve made that comment how he had to forge through it. He suffered through it. Everything. You know what? Let me join you on that.
No, what I said, just for everybody's, I enjoy mock drafts.
Yeah.
But what I said is that the site that I normally go to has become inundated with a ton of ads.
Yes.
And I don't want to mention it because I don't want to bash him because, you know, I like the guy and everything, but I cannot deal with a billion advertisements on the screen. It makes my mind go crazy. So that is what I suffered through.
Yes, I didn't realize it was brutal.
There was another one that would have been better in terms of ads. I did not know this. I used to go to the Draft Network. That one seems to be gone.
Yeah.
The simulator. So.
Yeah. There are so many sites doing it now. Now, if you're paying for a mock draft site, I got to tell you, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, you need help.
Like this. And I know many of these sites, they got to make their money. I get it. But if you are so addicted to mock drafts that you're willing to pay to do a mock draft, we need an intervention at this point for you folks.
Intervention.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll hang a banner. It'll be good. You know, orange juice will be served. All right. Do we just want to get into our mock drafts? Because this is a loosey-goosey show. We don't really know what else to talk about other than the draft.
Oh, well, we're going to do our normal fit. We're not going to broadcast after every round or anything, in case anybody wondered. We'll do another show next week on our normal Wednesday, released on our normal Thursday, in which we will cover all the picks all at once. But we will also have written coverage of each pick kind of as it goes, or at least by day. So that's the plan.
Yeah. We're going to do a daily. For sure. All right. So round one. We'll start with Dave. We'll each take a turn going first each round. So Dave, we'll start with you round one. Tell us what you did, Dave, in round one.
All right. Well, one, I think the obvious pick two. I think we all have Jaden Daniels. I think it's pretty safe to say on that one. But I did trade back up into the first round.
Wait. Let's get through the first pick first, and then we'll go.
Just want me to cover the whole round. That's fine.
Let's do pick by pick, and we'll talk about trades if we have trades.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Steve.
Yeah, I did Jaden Daniels, and with the caveat is that if like something weird happens and the Bears don't go with Caleb Williams, I'd draft Caleb Williams over Jaden Daniels.
Right. Let's be honest. If something weird happens, the Bears don't draft Caleb Williams, I'm making panic calls to the FBI to find out if he's like being arrested or something at this point. Like, there's no way it's not Caleb Williams unless something horrible just came out, you know?
Maybe, right? Yeah, who knows? But I'm just saying, stranger things have happened.
And by the way, I don't think anything like that's going on, obviously. I'm just saying. Yeah.
I mean, he's a bit weird, but, you know, no.
Yeah, that's not enough to, you know, he's a weird 22-year-old. All these kids are weird now. I don't know.
Yes.
All right, so I will say, round one, I got a trade offer from the, you know, system I use, PFN. Their offer, New England Patriots, offered me the number 3 pick, the number 34 pick, and their 2025 first-round pick. And I took that. The Patriots took May. I still drafted Jaden Daniels at number 3.
Wow.
So, I don't think the Patriots would realistically do that, though.
I don't know. They don't have Bill Belichick anymore. I don't know who's running the show there anymore. They're drunk.
That just seems kind of a dumb trade. I mean,
it's a very dumb trade.
Yeah.
But it got offered.
The site I used, just for the record, did not have trades as a possibility to do.
Right. Steve is doing this straight.
Not because I wouldn't have made trades, but because the system did not allow me to.
Right. All right, so Dave, you said you had a trade back up. Yeah. I do too. So let's talk about that. Just
to preface, I actually didn't use a mock draft simulator. So what I did was is I used the draft tech mock draft tech site gives an average of like over 12,000 mocks done. It gives every player the average position of where they've been drafted at. So I kind of went through and was like, okay, well, this guy is typically right here, and I played around with it that way. Okay. I did it a little bit differently instead of using an actual simulator. So, but the one thing I tried to do, because I definitely see both the, there's only really two real true legit left tackles in this draft.
Right.
And I see them both. I see them both going in the top 10. I tried so hard to figure out a way on getting up to Chicago's pick at 9. And it was nothing I could come up with that was a realistic option for Washington to even make that kind of a move, mm-hmm. especially with all the needs they had. So I went with the sweet spot that I mentioned before, going up there to pick 16, where I sent. And I use a trade valuation chart for this as well, where I sent pick 36, 67, and 100th overall, plus a 2025 third-round pick up to Seattle's 16th overall. And I got a 2025 fourth round pick. And then when I slid up there, you know, it's at first I sat there and I was going to select Talis Fuaga out of Oregon State. But one of the biggest problems I had with him is that most scouts were saying that he might move to the inside, although he can play tackle, more of a right tackle, but he has the ability to play left tackle. And unless Bashanu from Penn State slides down to 16, I have nothing else. So I'm thinking Aramaeus Mims, offensive tackle from Georgia. I know some project him as a right tackle, but there's a lot that way before his injuries, and he was playing real, real strong. He has all the makeup for a left tackle, and he's a guy right there, I think, because Troy Faciano out of Washington projected more of a guard, so it's probably a bit of a reach to do Mims at that spot, but I think he's the best available tackle to grab. Worst comes to worst, he's your right tackle for years to come. So that's who I went with.
So it's funny you did that, because I actually traded up at 15. I used that 34th and 36th pick. The 34th I got from New England in that one trade that probably would never be made. But yeah, let's be honest. It got offered. I took it. I used those two picks in my second round in 2025 to trade up, and I got Mims at 15.
So, my intention was to trade both of the second round picks and one of the third round pick to however far I could get it and move up with those in order to do the same thing. So, I think it would have ended up with Mims too, because I would have been able to move up.
No, none of
7, 8, 9 spot.
Like that's
7, 8, or 9 spots with something like that. And so that's probably what it ended up with Mims also.
Yeah.
So
Mims is a good talent. Like raw talent wise, he's pretty impressive.
Yeah. I would not have traded next year's first round pick.
No.
I would not have done that. I mean, no, I know Dave, you decided to do that. I wouldn't have done that.
No, I didn't do that. That was the only way for me to get up to the top 10.
I refused to do that.
I traded a future fourth or future third, and I got a future fourth back.
So you can chalk me up as agreeing with a trade up to get one of the left tackles.
Yeah, I think we all want to do it. I just don't know. Realistically, I don't know if they have enough to get that high.
Depends on how far you need to go.
Yeah, it does.
They don't have enough to go all the way up in the top 10. No, they do not.
No.
Well, the one thing that was interesting with doing this is that Penn State tackle, Bashanu, he's actually falling on some mock drafts and boards, because apparently a lot of scouts are looking him as more of a grinder like a Russell Okung instead of being that athletic guy like they pick out Sewell from the Lions, you know. So it's like there's a chance he could fall right there.
You'd think he'd be more athletic considering he had to run from people in the shower at Penn State.
Nah, he was just set in the pocket. just got back and set in the pocket. That's all he was doing.
All right. Let's move forward here. Pick 36, Steve. Obviously, you have a pick 36 since you didn't have a trade option.
Yeah, because I didn't have a trade option. I was all about offensive tackles. So I drafted Graham Barton. he was the best one available. Even if it's a right tackle, that was still a tackle, and that's what Washington needed.
Help fix the O-line. I get it. Fix the O-line is at all costs.
Oh, and then did you want me to do the second pick? No, we decided not to, right?
No, I have another pick. Well, okay. So, Dave, you don't have a 36 pick, right?
No, I have 40th.
All right, I have a 42, so let's move on to 40. Steve, why don't you start with your 40 as well?
I took Jatavion Sanders, the tight end from Texas. Okay. Athletic tight end.
Good tight end.
Yeah, they need a tight end. Yeah, there was I was kind of aiming linebacker at this spot. There wasn't really anybody available, and they need a tight end. So I figured there's your starter right there.
They have enough needs where you don't have to worry.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So at 40, since I still had my 40th round pick, I didn't trade that. I went for Xavier Worthy, the wide receiver. He had a 4.21 40 time in the combine. He's a fast, short guy. Gives you a legit new deep threat. And I think if we have Jaden Daniels, we know he likes a deep ball.
So. I thought about him too. For me, I just couldn't justify it when there's the other needs and other positions were greater. I thought that's sure. why I totally didn't. Get it. But it's a Worthy pick.
So I sat there at 40 and I continued beefing up the trenches because this kid is a fast riser. In fact, he may not even be here when it comes draft day, but right now he's projected right around this pick. That'd be offensive tackle for BYU for Kingsley Suomatale. And he's 6'5", 326, and he's probably one of the more athletic tackles in this draft. Very, very good footwork, and he's a guy that he may have to slide the right tackle for a year or two, but he's a guy that really projects he could be a quick mover to get to the other side on left tackle. You know, and I really think between him and Mims, Roy setting the edges, I think is going to be so important for Jaden Daniels, and especially with him wanting to move the pocket around, you get these athletic tackles on the outside, I think. Right there, that's kind of where I'm going with that.
All right. So we all have a 67th pick then, or did you trade yours away, Dave?
I had mine's one, obviously. Gone.
Okay. All right. So Steve and I both have 67. I'll go first this time, I guess. I went back to beefing up the O-line because, honestly, the more beef we have on the O-line, I think the better. I'm going with Patrick Paul out of Houston here. He was still on the board. I think he'll probably actually be gone by pick 67 at this point. I think he's climbing up some boards as well. Yep. He's a good left tackle option. Even though I'd give Mims that first shot at left tackle and swap him as needed would be kind of my approach. And that way we don't have to worry about Cornelius Lucas or the train wreck from Kansas City that we grabbed last year, whose name's just
Andrew Wiley.
Thank you. So that was my move.
I went linebacker Jeremiah Trotter.
Okay.
This is round three, pick three is what we're talking about here. Right. I thought about O-line, but I've also been of the mind for a long time that let's try to fill the needs, spread it around a little bit. Washington needs a linebacker. Yes, they brought in some starters, but they're going to have a long-term plan at the position. He's not a middle linebacker. I would have rather had a middle linebacker, but that's not him. But he's who's available, and they still need lots of linebacker help no matter what. So
yeah, he's going to be a weak side linebacker, I think. But
yes, he'll like definitely be weak side linebacker. And I kind of love the idea of having Jeremiah Trotter have to be wearing Redskins gear or Washington gear is pretty funny. So
yeah, make him come back.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe he'll reopen that car wash he had for a while.
Yeah. But he considers himself a Philadelphia guy first and foremost.
Oh, he definitely does. Yeah. Maybe two people out there remember him having a car wash in D.C.
Remember that vaguely reason.
He was one of those early you got to have start businesses with your money guys, which. He's right. That was actually very smart of him. But yeah, no one remembers. all right. So let's move on. Pick 78.
Dave, okay, I'll go first.
78, or is that another one you traded away?
Now, 78, I traded back with Green Bay, got the 88th pick and the and a fourth round pick, 126th overall. And I moved back because Ben Sinnott, tight end at Kansas State, was kind of my target for that next pick. And where he's been mocked, that's a sweet spot for him right there. Because I don't know how much Kingsbury is going to really use a tight end as a role of like Jatavion Sanders. Yeah. I don't know if he's going to utilize that, but with Lee Sinnott, he's the best pass and run blocking tight end there. He's great hands, excellent route runner. He doesn't have the speed that Sanders has, but he carries everything else. And he's another guy that's kind of moving off the boards right now too. So he is a guy that I'm targeting right there at pick 88, moving back from 78.
All right, Steve, who do you got at 78?
I drafted safety Cameron Kitchens. The reason being, I think I refuse to draft another corner, high up in the draft, at least in like a starting position. They've got to try to use last year's picks, but they do need safeties. I don't have all that much confidence in their safeties. And their Kitchens, I think, is probably more of a free safety. He's got a ton of interceptions. You know, he's 5'11". So I think he will fit pretty well with this. He's 40 time isn't great, but that's why he's in the third round. So a lot of people had him lower, but he was available in my mock draft, so I took him.
I mean, the where people are ranked, it's so such a random.
It's a total, yeah.
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 They're got, like, I saw somebody say Paul, who I drafted at 67, could be a first rounder now. Like, it just gets so wild at this point.
Hey, Johnny Manziel was drafted in the round one, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, quarterbacks we know are a gamble, especially when they're high all the time.
yeah, when they're snorting coke. Yeah, yeah. That doesn't help.
All right. So pick 78 for me. I actually traded back a little bit as well. I'll give you my reasoning. Trotter was still on the board, and I thought I got an offer from Seattle. Seattle picks 81, and they were offering pick 81 for 78, and then next year swapping our 6 for their 3rd. I was like, that's a pretty good deal to move back 3 spots. Trotter should still be there. He got taken the next spot, at 79. Yep. Cautionary tale. Like, just because you think a guy might be stick around, he might not, you know? So I ended up going with I wasn't really ready for it, but I went for edge rusher Braylon Trice out of Washington. Maybe not going to be a superstar, but kind of like a linebacker. Yeah, they went and got guys to fill the spot this year, but no one's a long-term solution, really. I think one of these guys signed a multi-year deal, but that was it. What they have at edge rusher this year is a bunch of stopgaps for the most part. So let's get a guy in. He doesn't have to play right away that way, and you can develop a little bit. That was my thinking with that pick.
Okay.
All right. So last pick, moving all the way back to the final pick of the third round, pick 100. I'll give mine first. I just went and grabbed a tight end, Jarrett Wiley out of TCU. Good blocker, big tight end. That was kind of my thinking. Just more blocking help in general. And again, we don't really have a long-term answer at tight end. So.
Nope.
That was the idea.
Dave?
That pick was traded to move up in the first. So.
Oh, okay. So I don't really like, I'm not sure I like my pick at this spot, but it was at this point I was getting super frustrated with the simulator machine. So I ended up with running back Blake Corum. It was kind of a weird pick. I admit that, but I'm not convinced about Brian Robinson. Sorry, I'm not convinced. Yes, horrible story. I mean, fantastic story in terms of his comeback and all of that. Wasn't impressed with how he played. Sorry. I like Chris Rodriguez. I'm not convinced Austin Eckler is going to be the answer either. After I have an unpublished piece I wrote it's kind of an evergreen thing on Austin Eckler's past couple seasons, and it's really been 2 years since he's been consistently good. You know, and so it's possible he may not come back from that. And I think running back is one of those positions that y'all always ought to keep drafting. So that was kind of my general thought. Now, again, I don't know if I hadn't been so frustrated with the draft simulator, I might not have done it in round three, but I did. And so that's what I have.
I think round three is going to be pretty high for running back.
Like, maybe.
What everyone says about this draft, it is not a good class for running backs.
Right.
There's going to be like a couple of backups. That's about it.
Yeah, I didn't say it was a great pick. I said I was getting frustrated by the time this pick rolled around.
I've done conservatively, let's say, 15 mock drafts. I don't publish most of them. I just do them like I've said.
Thank you.
When I'm
on
bored.
Behalf of all of us, thank you.
Yes. I find it a little narcissistic when you see someone post multiple mock drafts every day.
Yeah, because I don't know why anybody should, you know.
Yeah, it's like talking about your fantasy team. You know, you should be ashamed of this, folks. Like, hide it a little.
you have an addiction.
Yeah.
Get help.
This is
my one mock draft for the entire year.
You've gotten very good about that. You used to do a couple more a year.
Yeah, but I never did a ton of them. I always did four of them.
I'm actually surprised you didn't go for Marshawn Lloyd, though.
For me, it was like, I couldn't take this anymore. I got to make a pick. Boom. That was it.
I get it.
And since we have some time, we're not going to go over the name, rest of the names, because they're not going to mean anything to anybody. But for rounds, the two picks in round five and round seven,
You went all the way through? Okay.
Yeah, I did. And again, the name's not going to mean anything, but I picked up a corner in round five. Again, because I don't really trust the corners they have. I just wasn't willing to spend a high pick on one, but I think I need one. And I drafted two more offensive linemen, you know, a guard and another tackle in the last two picks. Because, like you guys have said, the O-line sucks. Can't have enough O-linemen. Yeah. That was what I did.
Yeah, in fact, actually, when I went through, I actually grabbed a corner, two linebackers, and the linemen as well. But there's one intriguing name that I see just keeps jumping up boards is the kid out of Washington, which is Edifon Elifacio out of Washington.
We promise that's how to pronounce his name for real.
I think I'm actually kind of close with that one, to be honest.
He took his crack at it.
Oh, I've been practicing it too at the same time. So I think it was right there. But I mean, he's 6 foot, 236 pound. He runs a 4.56 40, you know. So he had a bit of a rough go of it a couple years ago with injuries, but last year he had a full complete season with 94 tackles, interception, forced fumble, two pass defense, and three sacks. So I think he's one of the guys that could be like, you know what, sit behind Wagner for 1 year and see what you can develop into him, and then you could very well have that guy to step in the following year after that. So I kind of like that name. Watch out for that name, in my opinion, on that one. I think he could be on their radar.
I mean,
not a bad thought.
I was actually disappointed. I'm overall very happy with that mock draft that I did. And by the way, I did it just before the show. But I'm frustrated I didn't come away with a linebacker, honestly. Like, by the time that one moment happened where I lost Tom Trotter, I was just very angry with this too.
See, you try to get too cute with these trades. You know, that's the thing.
Yeah. So I'll just recap what I ended up with: Jaden Daniels, Mims, Xavier Worthy, Paul, the defensive end Trice, and the tight end Wiley, and then a future first and third, while losing a second and sixth.
Why don't you repeat yours, Dave? Because I lost track of what you traded away.
Yeah, I end up with Jaden Daniels. I end up with Mims as well. And in that deal, I wound up getting a future fourth-round pick in return on that deal to do that. I got offensive tackle Kingsley, him. And and also Ben Sinnott, and also got a fourth-round pick in that deal right there. That's the players I got.
Okay, and mine was also Jaden Daniels, Graham Barton, with the caveat that I would have traded up if I had had the capability of doing so. Tight end Jadeveon Sanders, Jeremiah Trotter, Cameron Kitchens. I liked all those picks. And then my frustration pick, Blake Corum at running back. Not a terrible, horrible pick, but not one I would probably do again. Since we have some time here, though, you know, we all picked Jaden Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
I said in my write-up that he was better than Drake May. You guys agreed.
I think by and large, yeah.
But what is the possibility that Washington's going to go another direction? Because there's, you know, realistically, I think four quarterbacks that, not that I think are round one picks, but it seems like that are in contention for round one. Beyond Caleb Williams, obviously, but then you got Daniels, May, McCarthy, and Penix.
Right.
I don't think any of those, May, McCarthy, or Penix, should be round one picks, but it seems like a lot of people do. So what is the possibility here that Washington will either dramatically overdraft one of those guys or really at the end of the day trade back and try to come into one of them?
I think, you know, even though I did it in my mock, I think trade is out of the question at this point. I don't think they're going to risk it. I don't see them making that move. I won't be shocked if they go with another quarterback. Like I would say, if I'm putting percentages on it, I'm like 75% Daniels, 25% is going to be either McCarthy or May. I as much as I like Penix, and we talked about, you know, we all like Penix. He's just not. I don't think he's in the group just because of the injuries and the age. But you know, like that 25%. Doubt is still there for me that they could make a wild card move, that they're like, we really like this kid's moxie and we're going to go with the one with the terrible arm just because he's a winner, you know, that kind of thing.
I think the only way that it doesn't happen with Daniels, because I, for as much as they may like McCarthy, I don't think they would overdraft him at two. That just doesn't make any sense to me, to be honest with you. But if the Raiders were able to convince someone like the Chargers to come into a three-team type of trade, to where the Chargers would jump back to their 13 spot, Washington would get pick five, and they figure out the rest of everything on that trade, that way now Washington's still in range for either May or McCarthy. I think that something like that, which we rarely ever see, I can't recall last time we even saw a three-team trade, like if at all ever. But something like that, something outside the box, is about the only thing I could see them moving back on. That still keeps them in the top five.
I think it would be a horrible decision to draft either one of those guys in the top five.
No, I agree. I agree 100%.
Yeah. By the way, I don't know if the NFL actually allows three-team trades.
You know, I'd have to look. I really don't know.
I know the NBA and a couple of sports do, but
NBA definitely does. I don't know the answer to that. I'd have to look. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I can't recall if I've ever seen one either. Now, you could in theory do something close, like, okay, we're getting this from these guys and we're flipping them right away, but that's not really a three team trade.
Maybe rules can set too, actually, believe it or not. I know there were some.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. You can't just, it's the rules and the draft rules are much different than NBA. You know, NBA draft rules and stuff.
Yeah, the NBA is pretty wild, honestly.
The NBA, you can't trade draft picks at all, technically. The team has to make you can trade the result of the pick. So what happens in the NBA is, if you trade the number one pick away, that number one team retains it and then drafts a player that the team wants and then immediately trades the player. That's technically how it works.
Right. Well, is that true with future? We don't need to get bogged down.
No. Right. But NFL rules are different. What my point is. I think part of this, though, that is worth considering in terms of Washington needs a star. Mm-hmm. See, this is a marketing thing also. It's a brand new era, new leadership. But who on this team can they market? Okay. So you got Terry McLaurin, but Terry McLaurin is not an out front personality.
No.
He's kind of more of a quiet leader type. And if you think through the rest of the offense, none of the rest of them are, one, good enough performers to merit that. And two, they don't have those kind of personalities either. Even on the defense, like Jonathan Allen is a bit, last year he was kind of grouchy and I don't know if they'd want to put him out there, but they need an offensive, they need somebody to market, especially at offense. And
let's also factor in their age. Both those guys are getting closer to the end at this point already. Like, they're going to hit 30 sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a
right
bad number.
And so, like, the question would be, who do you market? Who's better to market? Is it, you know, 25-year-old Michael Penix with knee injuries, J.J. McCarthy? You know, no, I think Jaden Daniels probably has the best story, and he's probably the most marketable. You know, he's from a big school. Drake May is not, you know, from North Carolina. North Carolina, right? He's not. I think if you're going to market one guy or the other, it would be Daniels over May.
I think you could market May. Like,
oh, you definitely can. I'm not saying
he's got a big, you know, the big smile and all that. Like, he's very.
I just think Daniels is easier to market. And so I'm not saying the team will make a decision based on that, but I'm saying that this is part of the reason why they're going to keep the number two pick. They really need somebody to fit in into that.
He really
spot.
Is a huge factor.
Well, yes. I think when it comes to Daniels, it's almost like you can pretty much have your cake and eat it too with that.
Yes.
Because with Daniels, you have the marketing capability. I mean, marketing him is going to be so easy to do. Obviously, you're going to make a lot of money off that. But let's throw that off to the side. He's a guy that's ready to step in day one to play. You know, he's a refined passer. He's got good form, good mechanics. He's ready to go. He played against SEC talent, and he's pretty much been on an upward swing throughout upward trajectory throughout his whole career. You know, and then, oh, by the way, he can sit there and run. He can run pretty well, too.
And that's just not the case with Drake May.
No, absolutely.
None of those things are true with Drake May. Now, I think that's a factor. But I don't think people have really thoroughly considered what Cliff Kingsbury would really want. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying I know the answer either. But I think the days of Kingsbury running, you know, the whacked out offense at Texas Tech that he ran, that's not an NFL offense.
He knows it too. He's not dumb.
Yeah. And I do think, like, in the NFL, it's great if you can have Lamar Jackson, whatever, wonderful. But at the end of the day, if you look at like the quarterbacks who've won Super Bowls, they're not runners. These guys are pocket passers. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, you know, Aaron Rodgers, yeah, he could run a little bit. He's, you know, Eli Manning won one. None of these guys are like these combo sprinter athlete runner types. I do think you have to have someone who can play as a pocket quarterback to at least a significant extent. I don't think we're going to see – I know I've seen – very little I've paid attention to, I've seen people who claim both Drake May and Jaden Daniels better fit in Cliff Kingsbury's offense. The truth is, nobody knows.
Right.
But I think that's a factor.
A good OC builds an offense around his quarterback.
Bingo. There you go.
And that's my biggest concern with Kingsbury. Is he going to do that?
Yeah.
I've never seen him really do that. I have not seen him adapt. But will he do that finally this year? I have no idea. I have no confidence in that.
I'm not huge on him either. You know, I don't think he did a particularly great job in with what's his face? Kyler Murray.
I'm not
Arizona.
Convinced anyone can do a good job with Kyler Murray still.
I was never a fan of Kyler Murray. You guys know that.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's going to go to the Texas Tech, you know, run and shoot. What was that offense called? Air raid. He's not going to bring the air raid offense here.
Airy, it's kind of very similar to the run and shoot, very similar to the spread. These offenses have a lot of overlap.
So it's going to be an NFL offense, but I think that the decision, no matter what any of us think, I think it is going to ride on what does Cliff Kingsbury want to do and which quarterback fits that the most. Because they do have different skills and strengths and talents and stuff, and they can easily disagree with us as to who's better or not. And obviously, they could.
Yeah,
but I think the one saving grace his coaching staff has is when we got Brian Johnson from Philadelphia, because he is a very, very good quarterbacks coach. You saw that what he did with Jalen Hurts. So he's going to do a good job on developing whoever he gets, whether it's May or Daniels. So at least when it comes to that aspect, that's the one guy that I really like the signing of is with him.
I think if there was a hint about anything, the hint is that they brought in Marcus Mariota. Marcus Mariota is a bit of a runner.
Yep.
Right.
You know, less in the NFL than he was, but he's a runner. And so Drake May is not a runner. Dane Daniels is a runner. And so if we go with the theory that they're smart, and maybe they aren't, but if they are smart and they build an offense around the quarterback, like Dave, you said they should, and everybody with a brain would agree with you, then maybe that's a hint that they would lean towards the quarterback that can run more because their backup could do the same thing.
Yeah.
Right.
So that would be, I guess, if I had to guess, an unbiased guess, that would be my guess.
Yeah. And I do think, and this is going to be the most interesting, my hot take about, you were saying earlier, you win from playing in the pocket. When you look at these top three quarterbacks, I actually do believe Jaden Daniels is the best pocket quarterback of the three. I don't think Caleb Williams likes playing from the pocket. He wants to run all the time. Go get outside.
It's not even he wants to run all the time. It's that he does run a lot, but yeah. But Caleb Williams has such confidence in his arm that he will throw from any position, and he's able to hit it. Yeah, sure. Somebody's gonna have to rein Caleb Williams in a little bit. I think
that's actually gonna be a big
difficulty. I said last week he's Russell Wilson.
Yeah,
and so they're gonna need a coach who knows how to deal with it. And I don't know if that's Kingsbury, and it doesn't matter. But
no, it doesn't matter. But anyway, so one thing, and maybe this is a hint of who will be and one name to take off the board. I did pull up the list of players who so far have announced that they're going to be at Detroit for the draft in round one. So Caleb Williams will be there because obviously we know he's going number one.
Right.
J.J. McCarthy won't be there, so maybe he's not on the list, because you would think they would really want the top couple guys to be there to, get their jersey from Goodell and all that stuff. But Jaden Daniels and Drake May will both be there. So
why would – what I don't – if it were me, unless I knew for a fact I was going in round one, I would not want to subject myself to the fresh hell of – having to come back the next day.
No.
That would be horrible and miserable.
It's already hell when you're sitting there in the 20s and you're one of the guys there. Like, remember Aaron Rodgers years ago?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's actually a good point, because if McCarthy has any idea he's going to be, even his slightest idea he's going to be number two, he's absolutely going to be there with his family. I don't see him not being there. That wouldn't make any sense.
There have been players. The tackle from the Browns, Joe Thomas, was not there.
Right.
Joe Thomas was on a boat with his dad. There could be other issues, but I think it
sure
lends itself to the suggestion that he knows he won't be
round
one.
And let's also keep in mind, where has he been living, J.J. McCarthy, the last
couple? Oh, no. What do you mean?
Where did he go to college?
Oh, I don't remember Michigan? Where he went to college.
Michigan State, right?
Yeah. He's literally lives a couple miles from where the draft is happening, and he's not going
to
be there.
He went to school there. I don't know if he's still there, but yeah.
Well, I'm assuming he had an apartment.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah. Something. But yeah, I thought that was interesting that he's not going to be there. But here, I'm going to read the other names. Let's play the game of, will this guy be Mr. Embarrassed?
Somebody's going to be Mr. Embarrassed, because it happens every year.
All right, so let's go easy one. Marvin Harrison Jr., the wide receiver out of Ohio State, he'll be gone top
five. Oh, yeah, he's not going to be embarrassed. No embarrassment.
Yeah, unless five quarterbacks go in a row, I think he goes top five.
Either way, he's going to be long gone, no matter what.
Yeah, he won't be Mr. Embarrassed. Malik Nabers, the wide receiver out of LSU.
I think he's about a mid-first round pick, maybe bottom of the back third.
Yeah,
okay, so
I'd
let's say 20, low 20s.
Yeah.
Worst case.
At the latest.
No embarrassment.
At the latest.
No embarrassment for him.
No embarrassment. No. All right. No. So this one, Rome Odunze, from Washington, the wide receiver.
Who again? I'm sorry.
Rome Odunze.
Odunze? Michael Penix's favorite target.
Actually, I think he's going to want to. I think he's going to go before.
Neighbors, who we just talked about.
I think he's going to want to squeak in the top 12, to be honest with you, because the Bears really like him a lot, from what I understand.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be embarrassed either. No embarrassment there.
All right, so last wide receiver, Brian Thomas Jr., the other LSU wide receiver, he'll be there.
He might be the embarrassment, be the embarrassed one.
I mean, they're both very good receivers from LSU.
But there's not going to be four wide receivers drafted in round one, I don't think.
I've seen him in the back end of the first and the early second where I've seen him.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah.
On average,
I think he's an embarrassment candidate.
All right, so we're going to count him as our first. I still think he probably goes in the first round, but you're right. He could be like 30. Could be super late, which, by the way, good for him because then he's on a playoff bound.
Actually, you know what? To be honest with you, if he's there for Kansas City after everything with Rasheed Rice, I think they'll jump on him in a heartbeat.
Yeah. No, Kansas City needs to jump on the best wide receiver available to him.
Yep.
That's for sure. All right, next name, J.C. Latham, the offensive lineman out of Alabama. He's a right tackle, right?
Yeah.
Technically, yeah. Yeah. Which somehow he's still kind of projected to be a high first rounder. Which
it's Alabama. Right
there.
Yeah.
That's why. Alabama.
Yeah.
He won't
be embarrassed, I don't think.
I don't know. He may be embarrassed. I think he's another candidate.
Is it just position value?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
What do you think, Dave?
Yeah, I think he's going to just squeak in the first round because even that draft tech mock draft site I'm on, he's been falling in most mock drafts. I think some actually seeing him falling almost out of the first round, but right now I think he's back end of the first.
Yeah. Okay. So the defensive end out of UCLA, Laiatu Latu. No. Embarrassed or not embarrassed?
No, I think he'll go first round.
Yeah. First round?
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Some defensive end has to go in the round one.
Yeah. And there's another one who's going to be there, Darius Robinson from Missouri. That's a guy who I could see getting late because isn't he a big guy?
Yeah, he'd be another candidate for embarrassment. Of course, at some point, he could be sitting there on Friday. Yes.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, yeah, he could make it to day two. All right, all right, I got it. Never mind. Dallas Turner, offensive linebacker out of Alabama. I don't think he gets embarrassed. I think he goes.
No, I think he's going to be a mid-round pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, and then we have two corners, Terrion Arnold from Alabama, and then Quinion Mitchell out of Toledo. Mitchell might be embarrassed.
Yeah, I think Mitchell might be.
Yeah, possibly.
Because, you know, you're a Mac school cornerback.
Why don't you blow through the remaining picks?
That was the last one.
Oh, that was the last one. Okay.
Yeah, that was the last one. So that was our list of the guys who are going to be there. I could see at least two guys being there on Friday. Definitely. So,
yeah.
Last topic we got to cover. Real quick, sad news. The team has cut Shaka Toney, which is not a shock.
That's sad. Why is that sad news? Sad for Shaka, I guess.
Yeah. It's not shocking for Shaka. No. What I'm saying.
So
definitely Shaka Toney, a gamble of a move, that's for sure.
Yeah.
See, a bunch of callbacks. So Shaka Toney was suspended this time last year for gambling. The reason why this happened, he's been on the suspended list all this time, which does count against the salary cap to a certain extent. But so he got suspended from a category that says indefinitely, but you can be reinstated in a year. Well, that year was yesterday,
right?
Meaning the 21st of – that was 2 days ago, I guess. The 21st of November or April.
Probably and got reinstated.
Yeah, he did get reinstated, and so Washington probably got him.
Right. My thought when I saw this is, you know, we saw the whole situation with Jonte Porter that you covered on IJB.
The basketball player got thrown out of the NBA.
Yeah, he got permanently lifetime ban for betting on his own games and betting on, like, his own parlays and stuff.
Tony had a whole operation going. Yeah, this is just Tony betting on stuff. We don't know the extent of it.
I did kind of think it makes sense. The NFL needs to send a pretty strong message. And all these guys, because a bunch of guys got caught last year gambling on NFL games.
I actually thought it was kind of odd that they cut him.
You did?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, The NFL reinstated him. He served his time. Doesn't Washington need an edge rusher? Chaka Toney had some talent.
He did have some talent, but I think they're just trying to look. This is a guy who obviously was on the cusp of ever making the 53, no matter what.
Oh, sure, but he showed some ability. It surprised me a little bit that they cut him.
It didn't to me, because I think that they want to send a message that we're not going to tolerate that with this group.
But, dude, I mean, I don't know. I mean, do they care? I guess they do care.
They care enough to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing, you know, standards.
Yeah. It's better than, you know, not caring when, you know, players are harassing cheerleaders or whatever.
Bringing in linebackers who are accused of sexual, you know, misconduct.
Right.
And their former team that nobody else wanted them. And so you brought them in. Gee, did that happen here?
No. That never happened.
No.
Or bringing in a linebacker who, you know, maybe got caught on video fighting a bunch of people on a beach.
Possibly, yeah.
Swinging a belt.
That never happened.
Nope.
Just what a weirdo that guy was.
Oh. I still follow him on Twitter just for the entertainment of how weird he is.
He's out there. Wow, he's out there.
Dude, he is out there. Loving every minute of it. But
and he thought for sure that... And at one point, he thought for sure the sale of the team was going to be held up because of a $36 million lawsuit or
$300 million lawsuit.
$300 million against Dan Snyder. He's like, this sale's not happening because I'm going to prevent it.
What was his? So he claimed, I didn't even see this lawsuit somehow.
Steve, I think this is too deep of a dive for this late in the show.
Okay.
But thumbnail it. He's suing the NFL for a collusion against him.
Tell people who you're talking about.
Okay,
by the way.
It's just... Junior Gallette, if you don't know who we're talking about. Sorry. Yeah. Junior Gallette sued the NFL for collusion because he couldn't get a good offer.
Oh, I did see this. This case is ridiculous. There's no, he doesn't have a claim.
And the worst part is that he turned down a contract offer from Washington that was more than reasonable, and he turned it down. Said that was like bottom of the barrel pay or whatever.
It was something like $3 million for a year or something. It was
it was like a multi-year deal, I thought, wasn't it?
No, I think it was just a one-year deal.
Maybe?
I
don't know. But, I mean, beggars shouldn't be choosers.
Guess what? That's 1% her money. Don't complain about getting 1% her money, ever. Don't compare yourself to a slave when you are being offered millions of dollars.
Yeah, right. And let's not go down this rabbit hole anyway. Yeah. But yeah, that lawsuit, I remember this now. I think I dismissed it out of my head because it was so stupid.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a case.
He's still complaining.
Even if he did have a case, he wouldn't have a case for $300 million in damages. So.
Right.
No. All right, guys.
Just one quick note. Uh-oh. 1987, a three-team trade. Rams, Bills, Colts, where Dickerson was part of that trade. It was in October. You know, but that's the last notable time it's ever happened in 1987.
Actually,
wasn't doing the draft though. But
I did want to go over one more thing real fast.
Uh-oh.
In case anybody wondered, I wrote a column this week on Washington's. I researched all of Washington's top three picks in franchise history, and it was a much smaller number than I thought. So I'm gonna run through these real quick
from the
beginning. 1936, Riley Smith, fullback out of Alabama. 1948, Harry Gilmer, quarterback from Alabama. 1953, Jack Scarbeth, quarterback from Maryland. 1961, Norm Snead, quarterback from Wake Forest. 1961, Joe Rutkins, and also 61, Joe Rutkins. These guys are drafted 2 and 3. Defensive tackle, Illinois. 1962, Ernie Davis, infamously, running back from Syracuse. 1964, Charlie Taylor, number 3 overall, wide receiver, Arizona State. 94, Heath Shuler, quarterback, Tennessee. 2000, LeVar Arrington at number 2, and number 3 was Chris Samuels. 2012, Robert Griffin, number 2, and 2020, Chase Young, defensive end. Now, of those, I counted the busts being Riley Smith, who I had to research, Harry Gilmer, who I had to research, Jack Scarbeth, bust, and then Shuler, Griffin, and Young all bust. Those are the busts. And then if you look at the ones who worked, the ones who weren't bussed, that leaves Ernie Davis died tragically of a disease. I'm not calling
also,
him a bust.
They traded him right away.
And they traded him both. But when he died, he never played. I'm just discarding him.
Yeah.
So Norm Snead wasn't a bust. Obviously, Norm Snead was a Pro Bowl player, but he really made his name. He did make the Pro Bowl as a Redskin, but but he wasn't a career player. Joe Rutkins, who I didn't know at all, was a career, played 9 years with Washington, went to multiple Pro Bowls, panned out his career defensive tackle, panned out exactly. Charlie Taylor, obviously, everybody knows about that, Hall of Famer. LeVar Arrington, not a bust, but didn't work out.
He made three Pro Bowls or something
like that. Yeah, that's why I'm not calling him a bust. You know, but he wasn't a career player. Chris Samuels. So the three that really stand out, Chris Samuels, Charlie Taylor, and Joe Rutkins, those are the top three players that Washington drafted that became career players. Charlie Taylor, Hall of Famer. Chris Samuels, Hall of Fame worthy. Joe Rutkins, Pro Bowl worthy, all career players. So there you go.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but since you just did this, Washington's only ever had one number one overall pick, and that was Ernie Davis, who they immediately traded, right?
That is correct.
They've never had the number one pick other than that, which is kind of wild.
Wrong. Harry Gilmer was the number one pick in 1948.
Oh, okay. There was another one. Okay.
Yes, but Ernie Davis is the modern, half quasi-modern era one. And if for those of you don't know, there's a movie about it. Ernie Davis was...
Great movie, by the way.
The first African-American winner of the Heisman Trophy. Faced a ton of discrimination. George Preston Marshall's a racist, refused to have him on the team, drafted him, immediately traded him because of his race, basically. Well, and then Ernie Davis, and then he brought black players in, you know. Bobby Mitchell was the result of the Ernie Davis trade.
Right. He traded Ernie Davis for Bobby Mitchell, which...
Yes.
Bobby Mitchell is African-American. It wasn't... Correct. He did not want Ernie Davis because of that, necessarily. He didn't want Ernie Davis because of some other...
I think
it was actually contracts and a lot of other stuff too.
But so, I mean, obviously that worked out ultimately, but with Ernie Davis having passed away tragically, I refuse to call that.
And I don't really want to come across defending George Preston Marshall. He was a racist piece of dirt.
He was.
Yeah.
Anyway, so if anybody wondered, that is the list. If you want to read more about it, I wrote a column about it. So there you go.
All right, so there we go. Okay, let us wrap up this week's show. I hope you all enjoy the draft. I don't know what you're going to be doing. It's my wife's birthday, so I'm going to be taking her out to a fancy dinner and then hopefully get home before the draft.
I'll be throwing together a piece about Washington's first-round draft pick. I usually I sometimes end up with five or six write-ups. This year, I think I only need to go with two. So
yeah. Don't be so bold as to just do the one. Let's have at least.
No, I'll have. But I can throw these together. I can throw those together.
Yeah, you're basically going to copy and paste from an article you just wrote.
Yes, right.
All right,
and
guys.
I will be at my brother's house eating some smash burgers and other stuff that he has on the menu. And, of course, beer.
Stuff that Steve can't eat anymore. So.
Yes. Correct. I'll have a burger for you, Steve.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That means you know you can't put ketchup or anything on it. It's just like a plain burger with.
Well, actually, you know what? My brother's burgers are pretty good. You actually could eat that pretty plain.
Oh, cool. Hint here is I always ate plain cheeseburgers. I never put anything on cheeseburgers. So if you're going to imitate me, you got it. Just meat, cheese, bun. Yep. That's it.
I'll do one of them just like that. There you go.
All right, guys. We will talk to you all next week.
All right, later.